This is the first Mother's Day without my mother living. Just a little over 5 months ago, she passed away. And to tell you the truth, with the dreadful Alzheimer's disease that she had, it feels like it's been a whole lot longer than that. And in her mental state, it has been a whole lot longer than that. For at least the last 5 years of her life, my mother didn't even remember any of our names. Holding on to my dad's the longest. And I remember even a few years ago talking to her, some of the kids and I, and my siblings and I, we were talking to her and about her having children and her four children. She said, "Not from this body." She said, "I never had any children." Friends, my mom's whole married life was about her children. A lot of moms know that. Her whole married life was about her children, about how she cared for us, how she sacrificed for us, what she did for us, how she loved us, and yet she ends her life completely unaware of us because of a disease that robs her of life and life from us as well. Many people will ask me time to time how my dad's doing, and then I'll just tell you he's doing okay. He has some good routines and good habits and patterns that get him out of the house so he's not at home all the time, and I'm really proud of him for that. And yet, he really still struggles just to know what his purpose of life is after 53 years of marriage. As my mom declined in her health, my siblings and I had several discussions, and one of the topics that would come up in our discussion from time to time was a word called genetics. You see, my mom had this dreadful disease, and her mom had this dreadful disease, and her mom's mom had this dreadful disease, and it had nothing to do with her fitness or how she took care of herself. My mom was always in great physical health her whole life, but it was her brain and this disease in it that had overtaken her with this awful thing. And the kicker is that my mom died at only the age of 76, which isn't very old, while losing her life in various degrees for 10 to 15 years before that last day. Friends, a few weeks ago on Easter, I asked you to write down some of the small, not small, but those molehill concerns that plague us every day in life. And one of those concerns that was pretty prevalent that people shared had to do with health issues. Issues around our health, and that's what we're going to be addressing today, that molehill of health issues. We had several different responses to deal with health, and it became obvious to me that it's a pretty important thought in people's minds. They think about it a lot, and they're concerned about it for both themselves and for those that they love. And from the responses that we received on those cards of those different kinds of worries, I learned that it has less to do with being physically fit ourselves. We really already know what we need to do that, don't we? We either do it or we don't take care of ourselves. We know that. But it had more to do with understanding the difficulties of health as they face us and face those that we love, and knowing God's perspective over all that. So that's going to be the driving force, the driving focus of where we're going on this topic of health today. And as we prepare to do that, would you go with me with prayer and ask God not just to speak to us today, but to minister to us today where it might hurt. God, this is a touchy topic, some of us are reeling in certain kinds of health pain now, either from ourselves or from those around us, and we want some clearer perspective. God, I pray that you'll bring some clearer perspective today, but even more than that, I pray just for an anointing, a balm, a salve from your Spirit to touch our souls where we hurt. That in the midst of whether we understand or not, we have a new perspective. So God, just teach us and lead us and minister to our spirit this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'd start with kind of a foundation, a biblical backdrop to this subject of health issues. You see, the reason that there's any health issues at all, that we even talk about this today, the reason that it exists, the reason that people have written that on a card is because we live in a fallen and a decaying world. The world is not getting better, it's decaying. In God's original design for us, there was no sickness, there was no illness, there was no disease, there was no deformity, there were no health conditions, and there was no death. What changed, you ask? Well, not God. We changed. We went from being an obedient people to being a disobedient people. Sin entered the world through God's first created human beings, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lived in the perfect place, and they walked with a perfect God in harmony. And when Adam and Eve made that choice to disobey God's one rule for them and to sin against him, they changed the course of the rest of their life and every life that would follow and the course of this world. Listen to one of the things that God says to Adam and Eve after they ate the fruit of the one tree in the whole garden that God told them to leave alone. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat the food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you return." These are the verses that communicate a couple things to us. First of all, they communicate a shift that has happened. The thorns and the thistles didn't exist before man and woman broke their relationship with God. They weren't there. Sin now has been welcomed into the world, and with it comes thorns and thistles, difficulty, trouble, sickness, and disease. None of these things existed before. Second, death now enters the path of man and woman. They were living peacefully forever with God. That's what they were supposed to be. And now someday they're going to return to the dust of which they came. This is now the backdrop that we have on our world. In a broken world like this, different things now begin to happen that cause us to write a thing like molehill concerns on a little card, on a little piece of paper that has to do with health. Worrying about health was unheard of before the fall of humankind. Good health was simply a way that life was, because there was nothing in this world to cause health issues. Now the world is reeling in sin, and it's a broken, sinful world, and health becomes a major concern. Let's spend some time talking about the kinds of health concerns that happen and how we can respond to these kinds of molehills as they come up. And listen, friends, as you may have already picked up from the beginning of this message, this is going to be a difficult message for some people today. For some of us here this morning, this may be a Kleenex sermon. And we have some in the seats, but I'm just telling you, for some it will be. If you've had some major health issues in your life, or major health issues in some that you've loved, or that you currently have, or they currently have, it may touch some raw parts of your emotions this morning. And I have to tell you that you won't leave here today having all of your concerns answered. It won't happen. There are some answers that we won't have until we're with God. So what we're looking to do this morning is not necessarily to gain all the answers, but instead to gain a perspective, a paradigm shift on the way that we look at these things as they happen. We can prevent certain health things from happening by how we care for ourselves. Some health things we know are consequences by choices in how we treat ourselves and how we live and our behaviors. But then you have things like with my mom, these kinds of things that you can't control, that you can't help, that just happen. There's some of those things that are just going to happen. In these cases, what we need is a perspective, a change. Instead of asking the question, why, we want to learn to be able to ask the question, how can I bring glory to God through this? How can I allow God to move and a purpose in my life through these events that are happening? That's the perspective we're trying to look at. You see, when we're walking with Jesus Christ, your perspective becomes that you know that your life isn't done after what happens here on this earth. And there's a much larger picture of what's happening than what you're experiencing right now on this earth. Everything that happens to you and to me is about something that's much bigger, often much bigger than we can comprehend or we can understand. If we can make this perspective shift, what it does is it allows us to rest with God through what's happening rather than wrestle with God through what's happening. Does that make sense? If we can change that perspective enough to see what God is doing and bring glory to God, we can rest with God instead of wrestle with Him. You see, we know that this life is not the end. There's much more than we know, and we've got to learn how to get through what happens in this broken world to get to the other side, where we walk with God again and perfect, sinless, painless, without sickness, eternity. Proverbs chapter 15:30 says, "A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news brings health to the bones." So what we want to do is we want to try to approach this subject as much as we can with a cheerful look, knowing that there's more beyond this life, and with the good news that we have of Jesus Christ being our Savior, so that we go beyond this life. And we know that something is better beyond where we are now. So let's look at four health concerns that happen in a broken world and try to look at them with that kind of perspective. The first is this, friends: in a broken world, sickness happens. Sickness happens. We might as well start with one of the most difficult ones. In this broken world, sickness happens. There are diseases and illnesses and epidemics and pandemics. There have been since the fall of humankind, and there will be until Christ returns. Actually, they'll be happening in increasing measures. We've found cures to some diseases, inoculations for some other diseases by the grace of God, but somehow new strains and new diseases just seem to keep coming. They seem to follow. Of course, one of the biggest ones plaguing our society today, in my opinion, is cancer. And you know what? I want to tell you plainly that I hate that disease. I hate that disease. I hate that it's taking the life of far too many people that I know and love. I hate that it seems that far too many people don't get cured from cancer, even though many of those others may have a time where they come to the point that they have no evidence of disease. And I hate that just talking about cancer touches so many people in a raw spot because they've known somebody or they know somebody who's dealing with that. I hate it, and I believe that God hates it as well. But we have to talk about it just a bit today. What do you do as a believer in Jesus when you're told that you have such a deadly disease? What do you do? I find that sometimes talking about these difficult subjects, it's easy to talk, it's helpful to talk more about life stories, things that have really happened. They can be helpful to us. So I want to share a real story. And one of the churches where we served, just soon after arriving there, we learned that there was a mom in her 30s who was fighting breast cancer. This mom had two children. Her oldest was a daughter. She was 13. Her youngest was a son who was 10. And every Sunday, her son went down to the kneeling rail of the church to pray for his mom to be healed. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. We all were praying. We all were hoping for a miracle for this beautiful woman. Lots of people were praying. Her spirit was great, and she came to a deep relationship with Jesus Christ through this battle. She fought her fight valiantly, and then at the age of 38, she passed from this life to go to her heavenly home with Jesus in heaven. Friends, cancer is one of those diseases that brings out a lot of the why questions. Why? It doesn't make sense on any earthly understanding why a mom with two school-aged children would die. It makes no sense. You see, when we look at this woman's death from an earthly perspective alone, all we can see is the loss. But for her, she left this earth with a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. So you know what? For her, she had nothing but gain. The Apostle Paul says to us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, Paul knew the importance of perspective. Paul knew the countenance to have under persecution. He belonged to Jesus. And he knew that if he was going to live, he was fully going to live for Jesus for his whole life. But if he was going to die, if he was going to leave this earth, he knew that he'd be in a far better place, walking with Jesus himself. He would only gain in his death. So in Paul's calamities, all of Paul's calamities, he gave all glory to God. Let me tell you part of the rest of this woman's story. Because of what her daughter experienced while she was with her mom who was sick, she grew compassion to care for others who are sick. She's now a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. She's graduated from college, and she has three children of her own. For a while out in high school and into college, she was going to be a nurse, so she was working in a hospital. And just think of what this one young woman had to offer every patient that she would work with because of what she experienced helping to care for her mom. And just think of the compassion that she would have to offer family members who had other loved ones who were dying or who passed away. From there, she ended up shifting her major, and she went on to become a teacher. And now she has the opportunity to work with children. And when she has a child, who goes through the same turmoil of a parent with cancer, she's going to be able to offer something to him or her that nobody else can offer because of what she experienced, because of her understanding of being there, of having gone through it. Friends, she has a love, compassion, and a story that now she can give to others that she would never be able to give without what she went through with her own mother. Our friend who passed away, her son also has a relationship with Christ. He's still kind of getting that relationship together, but God's not done with him yet. And you can keep him in your prayers as he's putting the pieces together, because God will do a lot in his life yet. You see, God didn't cause this tragedy, but he's brought something beautiful out of something awful. And he's going to continue to bring beautiful things out of it. Sickness happens, and sometimes healing doesn't happen on this earth. How will we bring glory to God in the midst of it? Here's the second thing that happens in a broken world. Unexpected things happen in a broken world. Unexpected things. Let me start by talking about one of the unexpected things that we call accidents. Friends, accidents happen. And friends, when they do, we need to recognize them for exactly what they are, as accidents, without putting any blame on ourselves or anybody else around in the situation. Let me share an example with you from Scripture. In Acts chapter 20, this one's not on the screen because I added it later and Mike didn't have it to put on the screen, but Acts chapter 20, verses 8 through 10, Paul's in a room teaching a group of people, and when he does, an accident happens. Listen to this account. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep while Paul talked on and on. So you kind of have the picture here, right? This young guy's in a room, and Paul's preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and get a little bit windy, and he's sitting in a windowsill, and he falls asleep. That's what happens. Happens to the best of us sometimes. I've seen people drift off before too. Don't make me bring names. It says when he was sound asleep, so he wasn't just kind of dozing here. It's like the boy in study hall who drools on his desk because he's so far asleep. He's in a deep sleep. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story window and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him, said, "Don't be alarmed. He is alive." Now listen, friends. This account has a happy ending, and I wish that all accidents had a happy ending, but we know that they don't always. But that's not the focus I want us to look at. I want us to look at another aspect of this story. I'm sharing this story because it's one of the few accounts in Scripture of an accidental death. An accidental death. Eutychus was simply sitting in a window. That's all he was doing. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He just got sleepy during a long, windy sermon. That's all that happened. Actually, Eutychus was a young person, so he should probably be commended for even being there, even being in the room to listen to somebody preaching. But he didn't do anything wrong, and no one around him did anything wrong. His parents didn't do anything wrong by bringing him there that day. There wasn't any horseplay going on. Nobody pushed him out of the window. He simply fell asleep and slipped out of the window. And you can't fall out of a third-story window and expect to live to tell about it. Listen closely. Some of you need to hear this morning. It was an accident. It was an accident. And accidental deaths happen all the time. You may want to blame yourself, or you may want to blame somebody else. You have somebody that you deeply love that something's happened to, and you want to say, if only I'd have been there, it wouldn't have happened. If only I would have stopped them from going. If only so-and-so wouldn't have taken him down that road or taken him down that place. If only he'd gone a different direction. Fill in the blank. Friends, accidents happen in a broken world. They do. And some of you may need to stop blaming yourself today. Maybe that's why you're here today. Or maybe you need to stop blaming somebody else. It was unfortunate. It was awful. But it was an accident. And it happens. There's also other unexpected things that happen. Sometimes the turns of life events bring things that we just didn't plan. Sometimes the unexpected things in life change the course of the rest of your life, like in the case of Nick. Perhaps you've seen this guy, Nick, on TV or on the internet, on YouTube. I can't pronounce his last name, so I'm not even going to try, but you'll hear it and see it here in a minute. Nick was born, friends, with no arms and no legs. I don't know if anybody's ever seen him or not. I mean, holy cow. Holy cow, what do you do when that happens? I can only imagine his parents as it's being told to him, you have a healthy child, but there are some issues. What do you do then? It's unexpected. The course of the rest of your life has just been changed forever. I don't know how they did it. But we can see how Nick turned out. Nick is now a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, and he's a motivational speaker. He turned lemons not into lemonade, but holy cow, into lemon meringue pie. He made something beautiful out of it. And I want you to check out this clip. There are a lot of clips you could watch, and you should. You should go to YouTube today and find him and read some of the longer times where he's preaching. I just want you to get a glimpse of what he's become in his ministry. So check this out real quickly on the screen. Anybody see this man before? I encourage you to, like I said, to check out some other things of him online. I picked this one because it kind of catch a lot of pieces of things I've seen of him, and it had caption, so we could catch what he was saying. Sometimes he's not easy to understand. He took something horrible and has made something beautiful out of it. The man's married with a child. He's done more adventuresome things than I have in my life. Friends, sometimes unexpected things happen. They're going to happen. So how do we respond when they do? Even the most unexpected things, they can bring glory to God. Here's the third thing that happens in a broken world. In a broken world, death happens. Death happens. And one thing is for sure of every person who's ever lived, and true of everybody in this room, death is imminent. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2, it says, it is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Friends, here's the thing about death. If we're in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is in us, we don't have to fear it. We don't have to be afraid of death. And I know that's a lot easier than said for many of us, but you know what? It's still the truth. If Jesus is in you, you don't have to be afraid to die. Again, we can look at Paul's perspective. Our goal is, as long as we have breath, is to do all we can do for Christ. And we know that when we die someday, we're going to be walking with Christ. The Jesus that we know, where there's no longer pain, but all we have to gain is being with him. I had a new thought over the past few years through my mom's illness. It's a different perspective than I had thought of before. When we have someone that we love who's sick, or they're injured, or they're in an accident, and they're in critical condition, what is it that we usually pray? What is it that we ask other people to pray? What is it that we want to put on the prayer chains? We pray that they'll be healed, right? That God will restore them, revive them, rescue them, save them, heal them right here on this earth. That's what we pray. Now, there's nothing wrong with those kind of prayers. When the ladies came to Jesus because Lazarus was sick and dying, that's what they asked of him, to come heal Jesus. When Jairus' daughter was sick and dying, her father came to Jesus asking that he would heal her. It's good to pray those kind of prayers and do it with all your might. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen those miracles, those prayers answered. But my new revelation had to do with when you have a loved one who's lived the bulk of their years, they're older, they're frailer, their body's getting tired, or their mind, in my mom's case, is getting tired. Maybe they're in the hospital. Maybe they go in with pneumonia or something critical and some sort of critical condition. Or even when someone's younger and they've gone through their life, but something tragic has happened and their life is never going to be the same on this earth. When we have those that we loved who we know Jesus, and Jesus is in them. When we know that, we know that they're secure in eternity, why is it that we pray that God's going to heal them on this stinky old earth? Please don't take me wrong on this, but it almost struck me that this could be a selfish prayer. I mean, hear me out. We want them to still be on this earth because we don't want to be without them on this earth. And I get that because I have people in my life that I'm not sure that I could live without. But if they're going to be with Jesus, is it just possible that in some cases we should begin to pray for their passing? We should begin to pray that they have a healing in heaven instead of here on this earth. I guess what I'm saying is if we're in Christ and Christ is in us, God wants us to be a whole lot less fearful of death for ourselves and for those that we love who are in Christ. Really, as much as I didn't want to see my mom go, as much as I knew that it would bring sadness to me and to my family, I believe that she knew Jesus. And with this dreaded disease of Alzheimer's, it came to a point where I knew she wasn't going to be healed on this earth of Alzheimer's, and I felt it appropriately to begin to pray that she would pass and go to her life in heaven. Because in the midst of this broken world, you know what? Death happens. And if we're in Jesus, we don't have to be afraid of that death. It's just the beginning of something a whole lot better. Here's the fourth thing that happens that still happens in a broken world. Miracles still happen. In a broken world, miracles still happen. Friends, we can't finish today without giving glory to God for some of his miracles. Miracles still happen today. I've known several people who've had cancer and now are walking cancer-free. Caroline has a cousin in Columbus who got ovarian cancer stage 4, wasn't it? Very young in age. And she's now been cancer-free for 7 or 8 years. She and her husband just adopted a daughter a couple years ago. She's having a Mother's Day today. Those are miracles. I've known people who've gone through strokes, death-defying accidents and illnesses who are now healthy, wealthy, and wise. Those are all miracles, and we need to call them exactly what they are. Even in this broken world, God still does miracles, and it's okay to ask for them. And here's the hard thing. It's not ours to question when God decides to intervene with a miracle and when he doesn't. I mean, I want to at times. I want to ask that question. Sometimes I really want to ask that question. But you know what I found? I found that it doesn't bring me any more peace or any more comfort just to be questioning God. The thing that brings me peace and brings me more comfort is when I simply trust him. When I trust God that he knows better than I do. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If I lean just on my understanding, I'm in trouble. I don't understand things enough of what's going on in this world. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. My perspective of my own eyes is so narrow. I need God's greater perspective on this. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your bones and nourishment to your health to your body and nourishment to your bones. There are two places in Scripture where it tells us the purpose of when Jesus does miracles on this earth that might help us a bit with this question. In Mark chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, Jesus says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. So this verse tells us that one of Jesus' purposes and healing on this earth was that we would know his authority. If he has authority over sickness, authority over death, he also has authority over our sins, so that we would know he has authority to forgive us our sins. That's part of the reasons that God does miracles. So we know we can be forgiven and be made right with God. When we see a miracle of God, we should praise Jesus for his authority to be able to do that. The second scripture is John chapter 2, verse 11. It says, this, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This verse tells us that Jesus does miracles to reveal his glory so that we will trust him, so that we'll put our faith in him. So we should praise him for his miracles by trusting him more. Both of these purposes have to do with God's glory and drawing us deeper in a relationship with him. Our friend that I talked about earlier who died with cancer, she drew much closer to Jesus through her illness than she ever was in her good health. The truth is before she was in her, had her illness, she had a very shallow relationship with Christ. She may have not known him at all. But through what she went through in this illness, she gained a relationship with Jesus that was really strong. And friends, that's a miracle. It's a miracle to celebrate. So whenever we see his miracles, we should ask the question, how is God using this to draw me closer to him? He has a reason for what he's doing when he chooses to do miracles. And we need to give him glory for that. I want to close this morning by inviting us to a time of prayer. As we sing our last song, I want to invite those forward who have some health concerns, or maybe somebody you love has a health concern and you want to come stand in their place. And I just want to invite you to come up here today and just to say, God, I'm yielding it to you. God, I'm asking for a miracle today. I'm just going to give it to you, and I'm going to trust you. And for any of the rest of us in this room, as we see those who we say we know and love in our church come forward for prayer, I invite you, if the Spirit leads you, to come and just put a hand on their shoulder or stand or kneel next to them just to pray with them. They don't even need to tell you what's going on if they don't want to, but just pray with them, asking for God to do a miracle. And in all of that, friends, as we pray, we're also going to trust God to know that his grace is sufficient for us, whatever he gives in return. Paul talks about having a thorn in his side that God never removed. He asked God to do a miracle and to take that thorn. We don't know if it was a physical, emotional, spiritual pain. We don't know what he was experiencing, but something was there. God didn't remove it. Instead, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. So this morning, I invite you forward to pray, whatever it is that's going on, and to receive whatever grace that Almighty God decides to give to you today. But let's come asking for some miracles. I just want to say a prayer over all these people that are here up front and anybody else's needs that might be in the seats. And if you just would join me. God, you know every intricate detail of everything that's before you right now. You know when the sickness started, the disease, the mental issue, the relational problem. You know when it all began. You know where it stems from. You know how long it's been there. You know how serious it is. All the questions doctors are trying to figure out or we want to know, God, you know every bit of that information. And it's not a mountain to you. It's not even a molehill to you. It's nothing that you can't move. It's nothing that you can't master. And God, we just want to bring before you all of these different things that are going on in our lives that would cause any of us to write health kind of things down on a card. All these things represented up front here, we give them before you, Jesus, and we ask for miracles. We ask for you to do mighty things in our midst. And maybe they're not always going to look the way we want them to, but God, we want you to move. And we want to know that your grace is sufficient for us in the end. So God, we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we are dismissed this morning, I just want to ask two questions, and I want to hear an audible response. Two questions. Do you believe God still does miracles?
Yes.
Is His grace sufficient for you? Let's just trust Him. Amen.